Okay, again. Al Yidei. Okay, Parashas Vayetze. Parashas Vayetze, the beginning of the Parashas Vayetze, when Rishava, Vayetze, Harana, Rashi, Vayetze, Yaakov, Al Yidei, Shebeshil, Shemois, but it's not meaning Yitzhak, because we have just learned that Yaakov, Avinu, does not want him to marry the Bnei Kanan. Holach Esav El Yishmael. So it says that Esav went, that was the end of Parashas Toldos. Esav went to marry Yishmael. Hivsek ha'inyin b'parashasa shal Yaakov v'chosa v'yar Esav kibirach. So the parasha was mafsik, discussing the Lord Yaakov Avinu. And it says, v'yar Esav kibirach u'mishagomar. Now that it's over, chazar le'inyan harisha. And so this, the erish to Yisrael of the parasha, the erish to the parasha is u'mishagomar. Umisha Gomar Chazar Le'inyan Harishon. This parasha begins with the concept, with the theme, that we now are returning Le'inyan Harishon. That's what this parasha is all. Rashi over here, it's very weird that Rashi here is giving us a Hakdamah. You don't often find Rashi giving you a Hakdamah to a parasha in the Torah, and this obviously is the exception. Vayetze, why does it mention his exit? Ella magit to teach you the yisoyed sheyitzias tzadik min amokim when the tzadik is amokim oisel roshem. It makes an impression. Shabizman shatzadik boir hu hoida. The tzadik is its beauty. It's hu ziva. Different expressions. Hoid ziva hu hadara yatsa misham pana hoida pana ziva and pana hadara. When Yaakov left, all three went away. Similar idea. Okay, so this is the opening Rashi. He went to go to Haran. Okay, so these are the Rashis. Now let's see the Targum and get an idea of what over here is Rashi coming to teach us. The Targum says in the fact, Yaakov in Beersheva, Yaakov he left Be'er Shava. Okay, and he went out. The Azal Lichoron. Okay, and there is no, we don't have over here any bear on the side, so we'll leave it with that. We have the Rashis. Rashis, again, the side of Rashis come to teach us. This parsha is has Hakdama. The Hakdama again is that we're Choyzer Le'inyon Harishoin. Vayetze is teaching us Kozman She'atzad Grihu Choyde Hu Zivu Hadoro. Pana hoida, pana ziva, pana hadar. Pasuk Yud Aleph. Vayifka b'makoyim. Yaakov, he meets. The word vayifka is lashon of pegiyah, is to meet. Vayola and sham, and he slept there. Kivo hashemesh, because the sun set. Vayikach, he took me avnei ha'makoyim from the stones of the makoyim. Vayosem mira shoysav. He put them underneath his head. Vayishkaf b'makoyim. And he went to sleep in that place. Rashi. Rashi pasik Yud Aleph vayifka b'makoyim. What does it mean vayifka b'makoyim? Vayhiskra kosav be'ezim makoyim. It doesn't tell us where. All it says is that he encountered a location. Ela b'makoyim haniska b'makoyim acher. So Rashi here is employing the concept that if it says in the Torah with makoyim and it does not tell us where it is, we have a right to assume that it refers to a makoyim that's mentioned elsewhere. Hu har hamoria shenemar boy vayar es hamokoy merachik. It refers to har hamoria because concerning hamoria it says the word mokum. So where did according to Rashi, where did Yaakov go? Vayif mokum. He went to the place of the Akedah. He went to the Akedah was in har hamoria, the mokum of the Beis Hamikdash. Period. Vayifka kol yifoga biyichoy. It's to be the poga bida beshes. Okay, this is the name of a place, or the same prayer, Shalosh and Tefillah. This expression by Yifka connotes prayer. Kamo the Altifka be, do not entreat me, Hashem says, Vilomanu. And here is the famous Rash, Tikain Tefillas Arvis. Vishonne Hakosa Vilakosa Vayispalel. The Pasik changed from his ordinary expression. Did not say Vayispalel. Lalamdecha, the teacher, Shakosa Lehaaretz, Kamo Shemafuish, and Perigit Hanosha, like we learned in the Gemara. The teacher of Vayifka has a connotation, in addition to prayer, that he met the place in record time. Shekafsa lehoaretz, the earth shrunk or jumped. And notice here the expression Rashi uses is the ha'oretz and not the normal expression of ha'derech. Ordinarily, when we talk about record speed, it's kaf soleh ha'derech. Here Rashi says she'kaf soleh ha'oretz. The sun, how is Vayavai different than the word Kibo? I don't know. But Rashi says it should still be Vayavai, Vayol and Shem. Kibo Hashemish Mashma, Sheshoka Loichama Pisayim. Okay, the expression Kibo has a connotation that it's that the sun sets suddenly, Sheloi Be'oinasa, not in its ordinary time. Why? Kidei Sheyol and Shem, so that the Sadik Hashem wanted Yaakov to go to sleep in this location. What did he do? Vayasem Rashaisav, he took the stones and he put the stones. He took the stones, it says, we go back to the pasuk, we read the pasuk, Vayikach, he took from the stones. And he put them underneath his head. Asan Kmin Marzev. He made the stones into a gutter. The word Marzev means a gutter. Saviv Lurosh, around his head. Sheyore Mimei Chayois Rois, he was afraid of wild animals. And what happened? The famous Rashi says, the stones began to quarrel with one another. Zoya Meris, this one said, Zoya Meris, Allah Yilich Roshay, Tzadik is Roshay, may the Tzadik put his head upon me. Zoya Meris, Allah Yilich, Miyad, Asun HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Evan Achas, the miracle happened, he turned to one stone, Zoya Shenemar, Vayikach Escho Evan. It starts off by telling us he took Me Avnei Beloshen Rabin, and then it concludes he took the singular stone, Shasan Mirash Yisav. Vayishkaf, he went to sleep by Mokim Ahu. Rashi tells Loshen Miut. The word Ahu is a Miut. Ba'oisei Mokim Shachav. Avol Yudalit Shonim Shashina Yishvish Beis Eiver. The 14 years that he served in Beis Eiver. Notice it does not say that he learned. It doesn't say that he learned Torah. It says Shashimesh, that he served. Lo Shachav Ba'layla, he did not sleep at night. Shachoy Oisei Ba'Torah. Okay, we have a lot of ideas over here in Rashi. Our goal of here will do a little to compare Rashi and Unkelis. Let's take a look over the Unkelis Pasuk base. Pasuk base, Unkelis says, Pasuk, that's a Pasuk Yud Aleph. V'ora. What does it mean, V'ora? The word V'ora means Vayifka. Okay, we have to figure out what that word means. We'll come back to that in a moment. What does this word mean? We learned that Rashi told us the word Vayifka has two meanings. Number one, it means to daven, to pray. Number two, it means to meet. And it's teaching us that Yaakov Avinu experienced kefitzas ha'oretz. Rashi did not say kefitzas ha'derech, but Rashi said kefitzas ha'oretz. So we have two translations of the two meanings in Rashi, what with Vayifka, and the Targum translates this word ve'ora, the asra in the place. Vayifka b'mokhe. Uvas. Vas means he slept. He lodged overnight. Talmon over there. Arei, because. O'ol Shimsha, the sunset. Bo HaShemesh. Okay. Unisayf, he took, me avne asra, from the stones of the place, vishavi, he put them, isodohi. Okay, he took them, and he put them, isodohi. What does that mean? Vayosem mirashoysaf. I don't know what that word means, we'll see one in a moment. Ushechev, he went to sleep, be asra, who in that place? Now, here we have all the fun begins. What does it mean Vayifka? Vayifka means he met. He prayed. Ve'ora. Ve'ora, l'shoin pigisha u'pigia ba'odam o'ibedova. Okay, his analysis tells us it means to meet. It is a meeting, either a meeting of a person, you meet a location. And it gives us the odas on kolis, ein Vayifka l'shoin chaniya o'y l'shoin tefila k'gemara. So according to his analysis, is we have here a disagreement between Rashi and Unkelis. Rashi tells us that is l'chay what has provoked Rashi. Rashi saw this Unkelis, and Rashi saw that Unkelis preferred to translate the word Vayifka to mean a meeting, and Rashi disagrees. Lashon Unkelis ain Vayifka Lashon Chaniya. Chaniya means to encamp. Lashon tefila k'gemara. Now, Rashi only disagrees partially. Okay, I don't know the Gemara. The Gemara seems to say the word Vayifka has two meanings. Either it means to pray, to daven, or it means chaniya. Chaniya means to encamp, to set up a lodging. This is my mokoim. Rashi, in the second interpretation, tells us what vayifka means to meet. It does mean that he happened to encounter. And that appears to be the interpretation of the Targum. The Targum says ve'ora, it means to encounter. It does not mean to set up a dwelling place. It certainly does not mean to go to sleep. That's the next word. But Rashi learns it. We have a Gemara. The Gemara tells Vayifka means one of two things. Either it means to set up a dwelling place or it means to pray. Rashi, in his first interpretation, tells it means to pray. And the second interpretation, he says it means to encounter. The Targum only says one, he says to encounter. Okay, fine. Next. It says over here in the pasuk that he put the vayosem mira shoysav, he put the stones underneath his head. What does the word isodohi mean? I have no idea. Lashon keses. It means a pillow. A pillow for hu dovar koton shetachas mira shoysav. Something you put underneath your head. Kolma she'adam noisein tachas roishoy is called a isodohi, a pillow. Okay, toisa sholem, gemara nikras kisadia, a pillow, ayavish shukamosadia, shenishan, vashoche volov, the ois ayin, melubeshes kamoz zero, okay, I'm not sure whatever that means. Now the ayin shemuel, the rashe ain lefar shom tachas harosh mamish, elo lamala mirosh, umerashoisov mashma mokoim. Hanochas haroish, v'zu echad mishimushei ha'ois mem haba b'roish hamila. Alright, now, I'm not sure exactly what he means, but one thing that seems to be pretty clear here, that he's trying to make here a disagreement between Rashi and Unkelus. Rashi clearly says that mirashoisav does not mean he put them underneath his head. It means he surrounded his head with a barrier, with a protection, aso'on. He took the 12 stones, he made them kimin marzev. A marzev really means a gutter, but in this context it means like a shelter, some type of wall around his head. Saviv l'rosho sheyorei mipnei chayos rois. He built a fence, he built a wall around his head, so that the chayos rois should not attack his head. Now that is totally different than what he's telling us, Rashi, what Unkelus says. Unkelus says it means he made for himself a pillow, something to put underneath his head. And then he goes on, Rashi tells his whole medrash. Now that's very interesting, because if you go back to the words of the Targum, the Arah he encountered, Be'ashradim, Ubosni slept, the Talmon, Arei Ol Shemsha, Udesev, he took me Avne Asra, Vishavi, he made them into Isodohi. The stones he used as a pillow. Why? Why did Yaakov Avinu want to rest with comfort? Now, not that a pillow really provides you with comfort, but there were many Gedolei Yisrael that never slept on a pillow their whole lives. They felt that if the whole Klal Yisrael is in such pain and agony, there's so much suffering, how could I go to sleep on a comfortable pillow? They put their head down on the mattress, on a hard mattress, in order not to enjoy life too much, because how could you enjoy life when so many people are suffering? And here it says, Mirash Oysav, Vayosem, he put these stones underneath his head. Now possibly what this means is that, you know, the earth, Chazal tell us, is cursed. The earth is cursed because of the chait of the Eitz Hadas, Kain and Hevel, Kain and Hevel, Kain killed Hevel. The earth absorbed the blood of Hevel. And Hashem cursed the earth. You collected, you absorbed blood of Hevel. Arura Ho'adoma ba'avurech. But really it goes back to the chid of Isadas. The earth is cursed. So it could be that there is such a principle. I vaguely remember seeing this somewhere, is that a person should never lie down directly on the earth. you should be mafsik. Just like we have a principle that you wear shoes, you're not supposed to walk barefoot, even if there is no danger, even if you're certain that the earth is smooth and clear from any danger. The earth is cursed. Arura ho'adoma ba'avurech. On Tisha B'Av, we walk on the earth, because on Tisha B'Av we connect to our, we were cursed. We acknowledge on in the Beis Hamikdash, the Kohen Gadol, the Beis Hamikdash, you don't wear their shoes, because that earth is not cursed. So it could very well be that over here the Targum is alluding to this principle that Yaakov Avinu, he took stones, and he used the stones not for comfort, because stones do not provide much comfort. I don't think anyone here would think stones, but he put it underneath his head in order to be mafsik between his head and the earth. That is what he did with the stones. And Ushrei be'asher hadin, not like Rashi, that learns simply that he lied down on the ground, or if he put down a pillow, the pasuk is not telling us that. And the purpose of the stones was to create for his head a shelter. Okay, let's go further in the words of next. And that's it. That's all we have over here in this pasuk. Over here, Nachmol, Va'ara, he encountered Ba'asha, Ubas, he slept, Tamon, Ariol, Shimsha, the sunset. We don't have any deacon what it means in this Targum. Rashi told us that Ubas means that the sun set suddenly, prematurely, because Hashem wanted Yaakov to sleep in the Smakum, the Sahar Maria, the Beis HaMikdash. When the Savi took Mushmei Avna Astra from the stones, Vashavi Isadohi, Machloikis Rashi and Unkelis, a pillow or a shelter, Ushachev Nisleba Astra Hahu. Pasuk Yud Beis, Vayachaloim, and he had a dream. Vine Sula Mutsav Arts, there was a ladder, there was Mutsav, there was stationary arts on the earth. Veroishoi Magia Hashamaima, Vine Malachilokim, there were angels, Oilim Vyodimbo, Gogam going down. Question, this is a general question. This just very quickly is why, since when do angels need a ladder? Every image that we've ever seen of an angel in the Jewish and the secular world, we've learned angels have wings. So if they have wings, why do angels need a ladder to climb? Why do you need a ladder? And the answer is, so there's different answers. One answer is, they were baby angels, and their wings did not yet grow in. Ever hear that answer? You know who says that answer? Rabbi Nechunya ben Akone. Rabbi Nechunya ben Akone, he wrote a sefer, one of the most ancient sefarim that we have. And in that sefer, that's what he says. He says that the reason why Yaakov Avinu needed a ladder, the angels needed a ladder, they were baby angels. They did not yet have wings. The wings were still growing. That's why they needed a ladder to get to where they needed to go. Isn't that an incredible chiddush? There was a story where a person died. And it's a terrible story. This story always haunts me. This story. Person died. And he left over kisveyat, his chidushim. And his son took his chidushim. He went through the chidushim. And he went to the rabbi, and he asked the rabbi, should I publish the chidushim? So the rabbi looked at the chidushim, and he saw this person, he wrote in his sefer, he opened up randomly the Parashas Vayetze, and he wrote in the manuscript this exact part. Vayetze, there was a ladder, and the malachim were going up the ladder. Why do you need a ladder? Why can't you climb? Why are there wings? And this person wrote, you know why? Because the angels were babies, and they did not yet have wings. So the rabbi chuckled, and he told the fellow, you know, maybe better don't publish the sefer. The rabbi thought that this vart was a joke, was so immature that the whole sefer must be like this. Better not. Not everything has to be published. I saw that story independent, totally independent of anything I've said. I saw that story written up. Then a while later, I came across in one of these Likutim, you know, one of these Sfarim that has a collection of Mefarshim, the Kasha. And it quotes there, I think I saw it from in the Oitz HaPlois. from this ancient, ancient sefer that is attributed to Rabbi Nechunya ben Hakone, which is Kodesh Kodoshim, where it gives exactly that answer. The angels were baby angels, and they did not have, and therefore they didn't have wings, therefore they needed a ladder. And I said to myself, wow, look at that. Look at that. This person was mechaving to a vart that really is sacred. And this rabbi should not have been a rabbi. This rabbi was making leitzonos of this fellow that it's not kedai to publish his chidushim because he says such foolish things. Really, such foolish things. He was mechaving to what it says in Rabbi Nechunya ben Hakone. So the lesson is never, ever look down at another person. You really, really don't know. You really don't know what's going on. And it was a powerful Musa Haskell, for me at least. Okay, so here we have over here this Pasuk. And now we have to see Rashi, Pasuk Yud Beis. Oilim the Yardim, they were going up and going down. Oilim Techila, they were going up first. Vachach Yardim first, they were going up and they were going down. Why were they going up and down in this direction? Why were they going up? Malachim shelivuhu ba'aretz, the angels that escorted him in Eretz Yisrael, ein yoytzim chutzal aretz ve'olu l'rokia. The yardu malachi chutzal aretz l'lavoysay came down new malachim to greet him. So here we have another entry into our sefer that we're going to publish in the Kollel, the rules of malachim. Every day we seem to learn a new halach about angels. Baby angels don't have wings. Angels don't have knees. Angels can only do one shlichus. Angels are called oimdim. Every day we learn a new halacha about an angel. Here we learn a new halacha that an angel that is assigned to Eretz Yisrael is not permitted to leave. Why not? What's the big deal? Okay, what's the big deal? Get on a plane. What, they were not. They don't have a lab report that they're negative from corona? What's the pshat? They're not allowed to go into Chutz Li'aretz because what's the problem over here? Big deal. Why can't you go to Chutz Li'aretz? No. A new rule. A new rule in the laws of angels. If you don't, you're not allowed. If you're not, you're assigned to Eretz Yisrael. There's no, such an angel cannot leave. That's the rule. Unbelievable, right? Who makes up these rules? Who would ever imagine there are such rules? Angels can't go into Chutz Li'aretz. If this is your territory, Zehu. Chiddush, right? Also, no wings. Now, what's very peculiar about this pasuk, which all the commentators discuss, is this means that if the angels first went up and then new angels came down, that means that Yaakov Avinu was vulnerable for a few moments. Okay, there was a moment of vulnerability, because you would expect if you were working for let's say the Secret Service or the Shin Bet, and it came time where a new shift. I mean, it's a very basic principle. I mean, how do they do this? I mean, in security, right? They always have the changing of the guards. Every security team, you have guards, and you have a new shift. I mean, this is elementary. This goes on. So how does it work? What? The shift ends at 9 o'clock. So a new team comes in at 9 o'clock. So you look at your watch. It's 8:59. You sneak out of there at 8:59, 9 o'clock. And when does the new shift come? Oh, they come a minute late. They come 9:01. So if you're going to leave Bidyuk and then before the next people replace you, then you're leaving whatever you're protecting vulnerable. The rule is you sit and you wait until the new team arrives, and in a moment in time you have double, and then you leave, right? Isn't that the normal way things go? And in fact, later on, I think in the next parasha, two parashas, I don't remember, when Yaakov Avinu comes back to Eretz Yisrael, it says exactly that. It says he met Malachim, first he met the new Malachim, and then, adios amigos, he said goodbye to the old Malachim. So over here, My high, you're vulnerable. Oilim v'yardim, oilim techila v'achakach yardim. Malachim shalivu b'aretz ein yotzim chutz li'aretz v'olurukiyah. V'yardim malachim chutz li'aretz l'olavoysay. My high, Unbelievable. I don't know the pshat, but it's very interesting. And I think this, if this ties into why Yaakov was afraid. Vayotze mirashoysav, according to Rashi, asan kemin marzev, savli roshoy, sheyorei v'mechayos rois. Why all of a sudden is Yaakov worried about the chayos rois? You know why? Because of this Rashi. Because of the moment of vulnerability. The moment of vulnerability when the malachi lekim ha'olim before the yardim, you have this moment in time when nishtahi nishtaher. That's why he was afraid. Okay, now let's take a look at Targum. Targum Pasuk Yud Beis says, V'chalam, he had a dream. Okay, everyone wants to know pshat in dreams. V'ha, and there was Sulma ladder, ni'itz. Okay, now this is a very important translation. The word ni'itz is not what you would expect the Targum to translate the word mutsav. Mutsav means it is the flavor. Okay, the flavor, make believe, this is Baskin and Robbins, 31 flavors of ice cream. You have a word here, you want a flavor, mutsav. What does mutsav mean? It was positioned. It was positioned very well. It was sturdy. You have a good ladder. Go on Amazon, you buy a good ladder, good reviews, you open up the ladder, you lean the ladder against the wall. Mutsav artsa. That's not what the word ni'itz means. It means it was thrust into the ground. It was drilled into the ground, thrust. The word ni'itz is a connotation that there was actual damage to the earth because of this, because of this ladder. That's what the word ni'itz means. V'chalav ha'osum ni'itz le'ara, v'reisha the top of the ladder, mate would reach, ad seis shemaya. That's a very curious word. It says magia hashemayma. Where did the unkelus get this word seis? And what does that word actually mean? It means the edge, the end of the shemayim. Okay, we have to see v'ha malachaya de Hashem solkin going up v'nochasin be going up, going down on the ladder. Okay, let's see over here in the parish. Yud beis ni'itz. Tokua. The word tokua means to thrust. Choloshna mishna ni'itzem shem kemin chafirois. You see, to dig into the earth. Shanasu al yidei shenekar ofar b'mekomo. You uproot the earth. Kishe chotz b'boy amud oideke. When you thrust into the earth a pillar or a deker. Deker is a dagger, some type of sharp instrument. I have no idea what that means. One more time, then we'll give up. The ladder, it turned in all directions. V'sham b'Yerushalayim be'emsa shipua hasulam. The ladder, the middle of the ladder, the ladder was on an angle, and the middle of the angle was Yerushalayim. Mutzav amud she'olav mishape hasulam. I don't know what this means over here. Okay, yeishav some say she'oitz hei she'bemila arza mashma lo'oymeka, to the depth of the earth. To the depths of the earth, kevon she'enendu b'mokem ha'islamid b'tchilas ha'mila le'artza artza. So this over here, they're saying it's not le'artza. He's saying a very deep var. He's saying over here is that the reason why the Targum is giving us a very powerful idea. The reason why the Targum translated the word artza to mean that the ladder was thrust into the earth and not just sitting pretty upon the earth in a stable position is not because of the word mutsav. The word mutsav is innocent. This word is not the culprit. The culprit is the letter he. Ordinarily, when do you have a letter he at the end of the word? When you really should have a lamed in the beginning of the word. Kol mila, that requires a lamed in the beginning of the word. So what do? We remove the lamid at the beginning. We put a hey at the end. But in this word, there's no need for that. Because v'hinei sulam mutzav oretz. There's no need. The pasuk doesn't need to say v'hinei sulam mutzav le'oretz. That's not necessary. The pasuk should have said v'hinei sulam mutzav oretz. Why is there a hey? And don't tell me the hey is in the place of a lamed in the beginning of the word, because that's not necessary in this case. So what's the hey doing here? The answer is the hey of the word artsa. The hey is coming to tell us not just the earth, deep in the earth. The ladder penetrated within the earth. Now, the question is why? Why is that so? Oh, here he's teaching us a very fascinating idea. The Malachi Elohim, they go into the earth itself. I think it's teaching a Mordig, a Musa. On this ladder is the Malachi Elohim. The Malachi Elohim represent the Kadosh Baruch Hu. They are the extension of Hashem. A person can make a mistake and think that the Kadosh Baruch Hu is limited. Hashem's ability to interfere, to be part of this world is limited. Hashem is in Shemayim. Maybe occasionally Hashem comes down, he watches CNN, you know, he listens to the Shir, he goes online, listens to see what was Tutsuch in the Welt. But if HaKadosh Baruch Hu to actually get involved in the actual earth, what's taking place in this world by dispatching his messengers, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu, he doesn't have that interest in getting involved. Kamash Malan, V'hinei Sulam, there's a ladder. And through the ladder, Hashem sends out his agents. It's Mutzav, not in the Oretz, but Artsa. It goes into the earth. It goes deep into the earth to indicate that HaKadosh Baruch Hu, his involvement, his influence, his power is within everything that happens in this world. Don't make any mistake about that. That, I believe, is a musa we can take away from this very interesting translation. They don't teach this to us in kindergarten. They teach us over here, there's a sulam mutzav art, so there's absolutely no Rashi on this. And it says the sulam is standing on the ground. The word mutzav is a very innocent word. And all of a sudden, we're shocked to learn the word mutzav means ni'itz, which is a very disturbing word. And along comes this incredible parish, which would never have any clue to know what this means. He tells us that this is not a conspiracy theory. This is for real. And it really comes from this letter hey. And the reason why, if you'll ask the average guy, why is there a hey? Go stop someone on Avenue M and just stop him cold. And say, why does it say Mutzav Artsa? Why doesn't it say Mutzav Oretz? So someone
who... Everyone say there's a difference. Le means to a specific place. And if you put Artsa, means more philosophical or more...
I don't know. I never heard this. I don't know. Maybe there was such a thing. But ordinarily, a person will tell you the famous Rashi. Rashi says a few times all over the place. Whenever a pasuk, a word, can use a letter lamed in the beginning, so there's a style where we omit the lamed in the beginning and we replace it with a hey at the end. So that's why we're brainwashed. Mutzav art, so we don't even think. So in other words, what should it really say? Mutzav le'oritz. But that's not true. You don't need, it's not towards the earth. It's mutzav upon the earth. So there is no need for a lamed. So why then is there a hey? Ah, that is the secret to the Targum. Why the Targum says ni'itz. It's teaching you that it's not just on the earth, it's thrust within the earth. And what's the Musar? So we're suggesting the Musar is the teacher when Hashem sends a shluchim down on the ladder to help us. Hashem is mamish involved in the nitty-gritty, in the gashmias, in the actual things that happen in the earth in the lowest and most elementary level. Next, now we had another very fascinating word, Atzeis Shemaya. What does that mean? To the end of heavens. It does not say the word Tzeis in the Pasuk. So why did the Targum insert the word Tzeis? So we have over here a parish, Lashon Tzad. Okay, a whole new parish. Tzeis does not mean, I thought it mean like to the edge, to the end, to the ends of the heavens. No, it means the side of heaven. This from the Reim is the Mizrahi. The Mizrahi, Rabbi Avraham Mizrahi, I think his name was Avraham, if I'm not mistaken. And now we go back to the Pasuk to get a better appreciation. Vayachal v'nei sulam mutzav arza v'roshoi magia, it reached magia hashamayma. He's telling us it doesn't mean that it actually reached heaven. It means it reached the tzad shamaya. Isn't that amazing? The ladder was actually thrust within the earth, but the ladder did not reach within the heavens. The ladder only went towards the heavens, the tzad shamayim, but the ladder did not actually make it into the heaven. What's going on over here? What's going on? This over here is very, very deep, and this is something which you never would imagine, but that's what it says over here. Atzeis means the tzad shamayim. The ladder was it's in the earth, but it went towards the heaven. All right, whatever this means, I don't know. And the Malachi Hashem are going up and down, and he has no more commentary. Next Pasuk. Pasuk Yud Gimel. V'hinei Hashem nitzav alav. Hashem was standing alav upon it. What's alav? What is the subject of the word alav? So you can say many things. Alav either means the ladder, or alav means Yaakov. Hashem was sitting upon Olav. We have to Vayomar, we'll see, and he said, Ani Hashem, Elokei Avraham Avicham, Velokei Yitzchak, Ka'aretz, Asher Ata Sheikhev Olecha, that you're lying upon, L'cha to Adnena, I will give it to you, Ule Zarech, and to your children. Rashi, Pasuk Gimel, Nitzav Olav, Hashem was standing Olav. So Olav means what? Yaakov. Rashi clearly learns, the word Olav means L'shamu, to guard Yaakov Avinu. And Hashem says, I am Hashem, I am the God of Avraham and Yitzchak. Velokei Yitzchak. Question. We don't ordinarily, Hashem never associates himself by calling himself the God of a living person, because there are no guarantees a person chas v'shom achmal zan can do naver to the very end. So the question, why then did HaKadosh Baruch Hu say to Yaakov Avinu, Elokei Yitzchak, when Yitzchak is still alive? It's not the derech, this is a rule. There are certain rules in Hashem's playbook. You don't refer to Hashem as the God of a certain person while he's still alive. Af al pi shaloi shaloi. Matzinu b'nikra sheyichei HaKadosh Baruch Hu shmei la tzadikim b'chayehem. When they are alive. Lichta evil tevay elokei ploini mishum shenema pein behol bikdoi shavlo yamin. Hashem does not have confidence in his holy ones. Can, this is the exception. Why? Yichad Shmuel Yitzchak lefi shekehu einav, he was blind. The kolui babayis. Look at this corona. Unbelievable. You hear this? You hear this? This is mamish. The makor of corona. Look at this. The kolui babayis. Everyone here on the Zoom is kolui babayis, including me. Isn't that amazing what it says over here? Kalu babayis. Vahare, and because Yaakov was blind, the kalu babayis, Mayru kemes, like everybody died. The yetzahara pasak bimenu, he no longer had a yetzahara. B'meil Hashem went, and Hashem called, said, Elokei Yitzchak. Shoichei v'oleho, that you're lying upon, over here we have a very bizarre Rashi. Kipo kadosh baruch hu kol eretz yisrael tachtav, remas lo shetia, noichel likavesh levanav. A very interesting Rashi, long before HaKadosh Baruch Hu, he took the whole Eretz Yisrael and he folded it. He folded it and he lied upon it to be merames, that it'll be easy for Yaakov to conquer the land. Likavesh libanav, be easy for Yaakov to conquer libanav to his children. Okay, now let's see over here what it says over here in the Targum very quickly. Pasik Yud Gimel. Pasik Gimel Vaha Yikara Da Hashem Ma'atar Ilovohi. The honor of Hashem. Yinei Hashem. He adds in a word. The Targum adds in a word that does not appear in the Pasik. Yikara, the honor of Hashem Ma'atad. What is it? Ma'atad Nitzav. That's an unusual word. Ilovohi, upon him. Yaakov, the subject of the word Olav is Yaakov, not the latter. V'amar ani Hashem, I know Hashem Elokei de Avraham, Avuch your father, Ve'elokei de Yitzchak, and of Yitzchak. Now just in general, notice Avraham is called your father, but Yitzchak is not called your father. Why not? Why does Yitzchak lose the title of Avicha? Okay, what happened to the word Avicha? Okay, Ara, the land, the At Shachev Allah, Loch to you et Nina, to you I will give it, the Livnach unto your children. Let's finish up with what it says over here in the bottom over here. Yikoro, the honor of the Hashem. Kavoid Hashem, Choloshna Kosev, Choloshna Hashem Ole, the Oid Kosaram, Shai She, Chosov Asmili Yikoro Khan. Why did the Targum add the word Yikoro? He le Harchokas Hagashmios. Okay, what does that mean exactly? To distance Hashem from Gashmius. Over here, this was not that Hashem was a physical being. He wants to emphasize that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is not a physical being. The Unkelis Mefarish HaPasik, he learns the Pasik, Kimikra Choser, there's a missing word, Chayilu Hoya Kosev, Yinei Kavoid Hashem Nitzavallah. It's as if the Pasik has another word to honor Hashem. Yakavana or Nivra, Yakavana, or Nivra, Hanegla Luchush. Okay, whatever that means. V'chein b'chavis halavavis hevi targum zek achas meha dugma ois laharois eich kad moinenu pershu b'derech kavoit v'chiku me'abori yisprach ha-ha-ha-ha-ha-ha-ha shama v'ha-tenua. Our ancestors, when they learned the Pasuk in Chumash, they were super duper careful not to ever associate HaKadosh Baruch Hu with Gashmias. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is a spiritual being. You don't call HaKadosh Baruch Hu Dover Gashmi, if you say the honor of Hashem. The Khan, Harecho Yamari Bechalon, the vision, the dream, the Mila Yikara. Okay, they make a very big deal about this. Everyone over here is on the same page. We are making here a very big deal that the word, that we're eating here, the word over here, Yikara. Next, Ma'atad, near Perusha HaChona Vezim L'Sadir HaKol Karoi. Hashem is prepared. The word over here, Chosh Nakasav, the Atzma, the Sadalach, the Atatu, Amid Likras Ha'asid, a standing for the towards the future. He's at attention. Okay, Vitargum Nitzav Loshon Hoyve Oimid Avomash Mirashu Loshon Ovar Omad Yesh Vitargum Loshon Yitzav Loshon Kum. Okay, we're not going to spend time on this, but basically here, I know the flavor that I'm giving the word Matad is an unusual word. And the beginning he begins to say is Namida Likras Ha'osid. It doesn't mean a physical standing. It means that I am prepared, I am ready, I'm waiting, I'm here to serve you. So when it says the word Nitzav, don't take the word Nitzav to be something very, very Vinei Hashem, according to Targum, means the Kavoid Hashem. Nitzavalav. Hashem says, I am ready, I am waiting, prepared to do for you whatever you want me to do. I'm at your attention, I'm at your service. I'm here to serve. That's incredible. That's an incredible thing that HaKadosh Baruch Hu says to Yaakov Avinu. Okay? And the land that you long upon, Rashi again, folded it up, I'm going to give it to you and to your children. All right, we're going to stop over here. Up to Pasuk Yedal, Mitzvah will continue tomorrow. Thank you all for coming. Ablaze, are you okay? You look very tired. You're very tired this morning also. Are you okay? Everything okay? Ablaze, are you okay?
Yeah, I'm okay. Servus Bachi. How you doing, ladies Bachi? I'm just listening because no participation. You need a good meal. Let's go out together, me and you. There's a good restaurant in your neighborhood. Teak Fusion.
Oh yeah, that's a good restaurant. That is. That's a very good restaurant. I was there once. That's a very good restaurant. Tea Fusion is really good. That's a really good
restaurant. You go to hear a session on wheels, they give you a free stopper.
That's a really good restaurant. I went to a Shel Brachas. I went to a Shel Brachas there.
Fantastic restaurant.
We got to pay $30. We paid $30. I never in my life saw so much food. They kept on bringing out more food and more food, and it was unbelievable. The food was delicious. We paid $30 a piece. That was an experience.
You heard the FBI is going to Square Town.
To arrest the Rebbe?
No. They're looking for the six traitors.
What six traitors?
The whole town voted for Trump, except for six people voted for Biden.
All right.
To find out who the traitors are.
I thought even Satmar, you're talking about Satmar. They're going to Satmar to find out the Chil Hashem.
Wow, that Chil Hashem is all over the media.
Awesome.
Every television channel. Every
awesome, awesome Chil Hashem.
World.
It's really.
How did he get 7,000 chassidim? There weren't 7,000 chassidim.
It's pretty bad. It's pretty bad.
The only reason he did it that way was because he wanted to give his brother a shtuck. Because Zalman made a wedding, he had to cancel it because of the publicity.
It's an incredible Chil Hashem beyond belief. It's very damaging to all of us here. It's damaging for all of us.
Yeah.
It's really, really unbelievable.
And really, Bells in Israel, the same thing also. All these weddings.
Yeah. All right. Have a wonderful evening. Be well.
Good night.
Okay, good night, everybody. This is Coco, everybody. Good night.
Yeah.